Last week, we reflected on Psalm 121, which assures us that God is our source of help in all things. This morning, we are studying Psalm 51, a penitential individual lament psalm in which David confessed the sins he committed against Bathsheba and Uriah. It is a model of confession that has become popular with God's people. Since we all sin and need to confess frequently, this psalm is a help and comfort to us all. We will read the psalm responsively, where I will read the leader part, and you will respond with the congregational cues on the screen. A reading of Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Against you, you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner when my mother conceived me. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Let me hear joy and gladness. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Do not cast me away from your presence. And do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. The word of the Lord.
Well, not a psalm that we really jump for joy after that one, huh? Question for you this morning. Have you ever gone through something difficult, knowing that it would be difficult, a situation, a circumstance, but knowing on the other side of it you'd be in a better place? Have you ever had a situation or experience like that? I mean, I can think of a whole variety of things, everything from even a doctor visit or a dental visit. I mean, you kind of go knowing that it's always not going to be the greatest thing in the world, but knowing on the outside of it you're going to be a better person or hopefully a healthier person. Even thinking about a flu shot. Nobody really loves needles, but on the back side of it, hopefully we're a little bit better, a little bit healthier. Or what about going through addiction recovery programs? Obviously a very, very tough process to go through, to quit smoking, to quit alcohol, something like this. But on the back side of it, obviously, you know that through the physical pain of going through this, you're going to be a better person, right? Another thing I think of and I thought of was marathons. I don't know if anybody's ever ran a marathon. I have never ran or never will run a marathon. But I have a couple of friends that run marathons. And I was talking to them about this. And in order to achieve the, kind of the goal that they set for themselves, the pace that they want to run the marathon at, they train at that goal. And so I asked them, well, what's your training program? So it's 16 to 20 weeks of 5 to 10 hours a week of running. That is brutal. Like, who does that to themselves? And they voluntarily do this in order that they can achieve the goal at the end, which is to run the marathon pace that they want to run. Someone has to be a little bit crazy to do this, right? I think Psalm 51 takes us on one of these journeys, right? it's one of these things that we know it's going to be not the like a painful process, right? It's going to be a grind to get through. But we know on the other side of it, if we want a deep and meaningful relationship with God, it's one of those things that we need to face, that we need to look at, that we need to talk about, that we need to understand, right? And so sin and evil is not really hot topics in our church or in our world today. They don't come up in casual coffee conversation, do they? And rightly so, because they're awkward, they're uncomfortable. We don't know what to say about it. But if we're not talking about sin and evil in the church, at least, where are we going to talk about it? I mean, it's kind of like this. We don't talk about the highs and the lows, the good and the bad, the beautiful and the brokenness. We don't talk about both sides of these things. I compare it to this. If you don't take out your trash in your house every once in a while, what begins to happen? Absolutely, it begins to stink. If you don't take out the sin in your life every once in a while, you know what's going to happen to your life? It's going to really stink. It's going to really stink. And so there's some baselines or there's some things that we need to kind of get at in order to understand, well, what is sin and what do you mean by confession and what is David actually doing here in Psalm 51? And so first, let's start with just understanding what is sin, right? So if we're in the Old Testament in Psalm 51, the Hebrew word for sin is also the same word that's used as an archer is shooting at a target and he misses the mark, he or she misses the mark, the bullseye that he's shooting at. That's the same word that is used or correlated with sin. So it's missing the mark. It's missing the bullseye. So if God has this desired future or plan or will for our lives or for his creation, sin would be anything outside of that bullseye, anything outside of that mark. And so it's misplaced trust. It's misplaced accuracy or judgment, right? It's trusting something other than what God's desired plan is or will is for us and for God's creation. Sin. And so we have three kind of players involved here, right? We have the creator God, the triune God, and then we have creation that exists, and specifically within that creation we look at humanity, because in Genesis 1:26 we're told that humanity has this special role as models of God or made in the image of God. And then we have this barrier that exists between the two. And this barrier that Psalm 51 points out is sin. And it's this wall, this dividing wall that separates us, creation, from God, the Creator. So how do we deal with that? What do we do with that? Well, Psalm 51 gives us a pretty good experience or a journey or platform to go off of. So there's three things that we need to know about sin in order to understand this better. I'm just going to use everyone, everywhere, everything. Everyone, everywhere, everything. So there's three things that we need to know about sin. First, we call original sin. No one except Jesus the Christ who has ever walked on this earth is without sin. Everyone is a sinner. Everyone has fallen short. If we go back to that definition of sin, everyone has missed the target. Everyone has been inaccurate in their trust and has misplaced their trust into something else besides God. And therefore, they have fallen short of the will of God and therefore deserve the consequences of their sin, which are quite stark. We're told in the New Testament that the consequences of sin are what? Death. Everybody deserves death. That's a tough pill to swallow. Everyone's a sinner. And this is crazy because it's not just like, well, we think of like babies and original sin, and it's unnaturally natural in them, right? Like as a parent, I don't have to raise my child and teach them how to sin. They're going to do that on their own, right? I actually have to curb that with the law. We call it the first use of the law. I have to curb that and try to teach them how not to sin. Sin becomes so natural to us that we don't even recognize it in our lives, right? It's unnaturally natural, a part of a creation, a part of who we are. From very young, we know if you put three little children in a room, in a half hour, you can go back in there, and it's not going to go well, is it? You know, if I want to see the most selfish person in the world, you know what I have to do? Just look in the mirror. Right? Why? Because I know myself the best, right? I know what's underneath what I show, right? Now, if I knew you better than me, you know what I could say? You're the most selfish person in the world. But I don't know you better than me. I only know myself. But selfishness is the root of sin, right? Everyone is a sinner. Original sin. It's unnaturally natural. Everyone is a sinner. Number two, everywhere. Total depravity is the term that we use in the church. There is not a place that we can go. There's not a thing that we can look at. There's not something that we could say that is not tainted by the cancer of sin. So no matter where I look into the world or no matter where I look into my life, sin has affected that. Sin, as we call it, broken that, right? It has changed that. It has mutated that into something that what it's not supposed to be. And so I can apply this to the entire creation and I can apply it to my life. But everywhere I look, every crook, every cranny, every corner, sin has affected it. Romans 3 lays this out beautifully, right? Everyone is evil. Everything, everywhere has fallen short. And this is tough, right? Because we don't want it to be this way. We want to cover it up. We want to hide it, right? And so we try our hardest to. In fact, in youth group, we call this our Instagram self. It's our social media self. Social media provides an awesome opportunity in order to hide our brokenness. Because I get to regulate what's out there, right? And so if I have a Facebook profile or an Instagram profile, I get to put every picture of all the great things that I do in my life. And I get to manicure it and shape it and mold it so it's beautiful and perfect. But we all know that's not real. We can scroll through someone else's profile and say, that looks great. That's not their real life. Sure, it's a highlight reel of their life. They maybe were at those places and did those things. But they're going through pain and suffering. They got brokenness and sin in their life too. Just like I do. We can try to cover it up. We can try to hide and run from it. But everyone and everywhere is affected by sin. Well, if we're not having fun yet, this one is going to be really fun. Everything. The third term I want you to know is, so it's original sin, it's total depravity, and the third term when it comes to sin I want you to know is unfree will. And this one we fight tooth and nail for. We want to be free. Freedom is built into our constitution, it's built into our lives, it's who we think at a fundamental level, who we are is free. That we have a right to be free. But in our spiritual sense, if you will, when it comes to choosing God, we will only choose evil every single time. And I know we want to fight against this. I know I want to say, no, I do good things. And that's just the sin that's talking in your life. As Luther would say, everything is bent in on itself. Everything from its very existence because of sin now is bent in and curved in on themselves. There is nothing without sin. Everything is bound to evil. Every word that I say, every thought that I think, every action that I take in is somehow, some way tainted by evilness, by sin. And I don't want to do it, right? Romans 7, read this if you haven't read this for a while. Paul writes this beautifully out. And think unfree will as you're reading this. This is what Paul writes in Romans 7. He says, the things I want to do, the things I know I should do, the things that are great to do that God tells me to do, I want to do them, but I can't. And those things that I know I shouldn't be doing and I don't want to do them and I fight tooth and nail not to do them, I end up doing them. It's the unfree will. Everything's affected by sin. Everyone deals with sin. Everywhere, sin resides. And so we get to a place finally in our lives in Romans 7:24. Paul, after talking about the unfree will, gets to this place and he says this prayer. He says, what a wretched man that I am. Who will save me from this body of death? Romans 7:24. What a wretched man that I am. Who's going to save me from this body of death? See, I don't know what you're going through, right? I don't know the sin and the brokenness in your life. You know, I can name some general themes that the Bible talks about. Maybe it's addiction. Maybe it's misplaced trust or faith. Maybe you have a problem with evilness or anger, or maybe you have a problem with judgment, or maybe you have a problem with depression, or maybe you have a problem with alcoholism or drunkenness, or maybe there's so many things that we can talk about that are evil and sin. Why? Because everyone deals with them. Because they're everywhere. Because it's found in everything. What a wretched man that I am. Who will save me from this body of death? It's not until we get to that point where we find ourselves on our hands and our knees praying, save me. Where we begin to realize that we can't save ourselves, that we can't find a way out, that we can't stop sinning. We get to this place of complete helplessness and hopelessness. And it's there. It's right there where God has us. Have mercy on me, O God. According to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before you, O God. About against you and against you alone I have sinned and I've done evil in your sight. So that you're justified in your sentence. Blameless when you pass judgment on me. I was born guilty, a sinner in my mother's womb. Purge me with hyssop. Wash me. Let me hear joy and gladness because these bones that you have made are crushed. Hide your face from my sin and blot out my iniquities. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and a right spirit within me. What does David ask for right there? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. What David's asking for is a new life, because he just wrecked his life. And that's exactly what the cross is about, isn't it? That's exactly what God does. You see, when we get to that place when we're on our hands and knees, we have three options. We can listen to the world. The world's going to tell you to look inside yourself. Follow your heart. Or you can listen to other religions and they're going to say, try harder, be better, stop sinning. Or you can listen to God's word. And it says, be still. Because God is fighting for you. You see, you'll never understand the greatness of what Jesus Christ did on the cross until you understand the greatness of your sin. You'll never understand the greatness of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, about God the Father sending his only Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him, because humanity could not reach God. God reached down into the earth by becoming flesh and taking on humanity and taking the sin of the world on the cross onto himself. The punishment that we deserve, death, that we all agreed upon is ours, is now upon Jesus. In order that we may be holy and blameless and perfect and righteousness in his sight. When God looks at you, he sees Jesus. When God looks at Jesus, he sees your sin. It's the sweet swap. Everything that you've done is now gone. Everything that Jesus did is now yours. The gift of God for the people of God. It's grace without limits. It's one-way love. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. And so what are you going to do about it? Well, David tells us, restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me in a willing spirit. Then I will teach the transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. My tongue will sing aloud of your deliverance. There's only one response to the good news of Jesus Christ, and that's praise and proclamation. We praise God for what he has done in our world and in our lives, and we tell everybody about it, because this is a story worth telling. You see, everyone, everywhere, everything, is now found in Jesus. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen.